Hello and welcome to November's 2023 edition of Library Chat with the Iowa Library for the Blind and Print Disabled. I'm Jody Aldini, Access Services Librarian.
I'm Angie Help, Technical Services Librarian.
And I'm Leland Smith, Service Specialist with the IMC.
And brand new Certified Braille Transcriber.
Okay, that was not plain, but that was pretty perfect.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. 10 out of 10. I think all the judges are holding up their little signs to give me a score.
Yep.
Thank you, Jody. I officially have received my certification for literary Braille transcribing.
Did you get this?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
So I got the actual piece of paper that says it coming, but I got my results. So I know I passed, and it's on its way in the next 2 to 3 months.
And if any of you know about Braille and transcribing, that was a feat that he accomplished, because I'm going through it and it is no joke. So
from
kudos,
start to finish, it was almost a year and 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big commitment.
It is a very big commitment, and it's a major accomplishment. So congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Again.
The most difficult part about the whole process wasn't learning Braille, because I knew Braille. Mm-hmm. I know Braille. Is formatting and all the fine detail and rules that you have to remember.
Yes.
And then working with software to make the Braille electronically.
Yes.
That's the learning hurdle, not really the Braille itself, which is kind of crazy, I think.
Yeah. There's a lot to it.
Yeah.
A lot to it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of little steps I don't even think of, or little details that you might not realize, but that the transcribers have to know.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't aware either until I stepped into it. And I'm working on lesson 7, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. But I keep getting encouraged by people. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep plugging it on, you know. Mm-hmm. So
centering headings is great, especially when you have 13 spaces. Do you put the odd number in front or the even number in front? It's like, you got to know these things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How to number a page. How to indent the whole shebang. Yeah. Anyway, that's not what we're here for, but we wanted to give Leland a shout out, because that's pretty major.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome. So today, we're talking about the book, Where the Crawdads Sing.
Mm-hmm. In the movie.
And the movie. I hear their stories. I've seen the movie 3 times. Not really by choice, but, by choice. But anyway, and then I read the book. But
And then I read the book, and then I watched the movie. But I read the book, I want to say, right when it came out, a couple of years ago, because Dina was still here, and she was the one who encouraged me to read it and actually finish it. So without her, I would have stopped.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't enjoy that either?
The ending was the best part.
Yeah.
I could.
That floored me.
Yeah. That's one of the books I could just read the last chapter and been fine with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just read it a week ago. So freshman head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I watched the movie first, and the only reason I did is because I flipped on Netflix and I saw it there, and I thought, well, what is the big hype about this? Because everybody was requesting this book, right? Mm-hmm. So I watched it. And then we talked about doing it for the podcast, so I thought, well, I'll go ahead and read it too. So I read it, and I'm like, I do not remember this ending in that movie. And so I went and watched it again. And I don't remember the ending, period. So I don't know if I passed out, what happened, because I don't remember it. But then anyway, I was telling a friend about it. Well, we can come over and watch it. So then they come over and watched it. So I watched it 3 times.
Well, the I did grab a couple of synopsis of the movie and the book. So I have 2 different ones, but they're basically the same. So for the movie, it says, abandoned as a girl, Kaya raised herself in the dangerous marshlands of North Carolina. For years, rumors of the Marsh Girl haunted Barkley Cove, isolating the sharp and resilient Kaya from her community. Drawn to 2 young men from town, she opens herself to a new and startling world. However, when one of them is found dead, Kaya immediately becomes the main suspect. As the case unfolds, the verdict as to what happened becomes increasingly unclear, threatening to reveal many secrets. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun is right.
Also, I just would like to point out, in my head, reading the synopsis of North Carolina marshland, I didn't really, I don't correlate marshland with North Carolina for some reason.
Oh, okay.
But it makes sense. But in my head, I'm like, wait, there's marshland, North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just me and maps and geography, I tell you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No one else?
There actually a Barkley Cove, North Carolina?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But I guess I'm not 100% certain on that. One of the Goodreads review that I read, the lady was from North Carolina, and that was one of her main chief complaints, is that the locations weren't accurate.
Mm.
Like, in the book, they kept going to Asheville. Apparently, Asheville's not where Asheville said it was. Or, like, the geographic area wasn't accurate, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I said earlier, if it wasn't for Dina, I don't think I would have finished the book.
Just not your type of read, huh?
It was too slow for me. I'm like, come on. Like, let's.
Normally, I'm that way too, but I enjoyed the book, and I even enjoyed the movie.
Mm-hmm.
However, the movie ending and the book ending, two different things. I mean, the same conclusion, but two different.
Okay.
But so what's your stories? You had stories about watching these.
So on Monday night, I started to watch the movie. So I think I got an hour and 15 minutes into it. I had the last 50 minutes left. So, but I got tired. So it was already 9 o'clock before I started it. I was like, okay, I can at least watch half of it Monday night. I'll finish the last half Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So go to bed Monday night, wake up Tuesday, do all the stuff, come home, go to watch it. And I get on the Netflix, and now it says there's a little, like, locked icon on it. And I was like, what's going on? So I tried my Roku at home. I tried watching it on my TV. I called my sister because it's actually her account.
Mm-hmm.
I had her log it or, like, check on her phone and her TV. And, yep, all have that little locked icon. So on Tuesday, our plan updated, and we had finally had to get, like, the ads or no ads. Well, we don't watch Netflix enough, so she went with the cheapest plan. And Where the Crawdads Sing is now behind a paywall.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I watched the first hour and 15 minutes and got to the last 50 and couldn't finish it. Cause,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so then I went on Amazon. I was like, oh, I'll rent it. And then I was like, well, I don't really like the movie enough to rent it.
No, I wouldn't either. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it. Mm-mm.
So I did kind of cheat a little. I did get on Wikipedia and look at the synopsis for the movie to double check to make sure it, like, aligned with what happened in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. So I basically got the gist of it, which was fine with me because, like, the movie wasn't even keeping my interest. Like, I was getting up and doing stuff and, like, playing on my phone and, like, balancing my checkbook. So if I'm doing that while watching a movie, it's obviously not grabbing my attention.
Which is funny because normally I'm that way too. And if it doesn't get me and if it doesn't keep – but mm-hmm. I don't know. I enjoyed it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what's your story, Leland?
Okay. So my story is a little less exciting. I have a history of not watching movies. And two things either happen. Either I get up and I get distracted and I don't go back to the movie, or I fall asleep.
Okay.
I fell asleep.
Well,
I was like half an hour in and...
Must have bored you too, huh?
I was snoring. It was interesting. It was great,
yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
Me and movies don't go well together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm much better with an audiobook or a Braille book. You know, something either that engages me more or I can go up and move around, do things.
Sure.
Otherwise, I'd never go through books.
Yeah.
Or movies.
Yeah.
So. I just don't have time to watch movies anymore.
I'm not usually a movie watcher, but Saturday mornings is usually when I'll flip it on and watch it. Because normally I don't have TV on at all.
I usually usually watch Trains or Bluey on Saturday mornings. Okay, so one of the things I wrote down here, one of the things that I really liked about the hour and 15 of the movie I did watch mm-hmm. was the cinematography of like the nature scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Those were pretty cool, especially when they were focusing on the marshland or like the plants or the animals or even like the feathers, like the different feathers. I thought that was pretty cool. So that part of the movie I did enjoy was mm-hmm. more of the nature scenes.
Yeah.
Just the whole love triangle and her family running away, that just
didn't.
No.
It's pretty far-fetched. I mean.
But yeah, it's.
But.
I felt like it was pretty realistic.
Yeah, I could see.
Like, I could see it happening.
An eight-year-old girl out there by herself, and then there's the store mm-hmm. owners that know she's out there by herself, mm-hmm. and Child Protective Services are looking for her, but they don't say anything. But they leave her out there by herself?
Well, this was back in the 1950s, so this,
yeah. still.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that would be something that would happen, especially in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
No. There,
it happens. But chances of it happening a lot, no. But for the sense of a book, I could get
well,
down
for
with
the
it.
Book, yeah. Mm-hmm. For a book. But real life, I'm not seeing store owners seeing mm-hmm. this girl out here by herself at 8 years old, and they're going to leave her there and let her go digging for mussels mm-hmm. and then take them in to sell them to them so she can get money for cornmeal and yeah. gas.
But – the store,
or grits, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. The store owners who were buying the mussels and knew her, they were black while she was white. And so that could be another area where maybe they didn't want to take her in because of that.
I mean, not so much take her in, but
yeah.
let somebody know that she's out there by herself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But anyway.
Yeah.
It happened. And at 8 years old, she did a pretty darn good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She wrote how many books? At least four.
I don't know. I didn't get to that part in the movie.
I only know it was at least four because the store owners mm-hmm. would prop the books up in the store window. And there were four at one point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now I want to watch that part.
Yeah. And because and then, of course, you know, well, how far did you get? Because did you get to the point where Tate, the boyfriend, said he was coming back and he didn't come back.
Yeah, so I got to the part where where she started to hang out with Chase.
Okay.
And he had just came, like, barged into her house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that's where I'm like, I need to go
to sleep.
Okay,
because she saw him at the, that gal, that Pearl was his fiancée. That's mm-hmm. when she found that out.
Okay.
That's what it was. And so, yeah. So then anyway, he kept pursuing her, trying to, and mm-hmm. then she went into the grocery store to get some stuff and they walked in and she tried to hide. Well, then he grabbed her by the arm and he was drunk. Well, then she goes back out to the marsh and was doing her thing with the notebook and stuff. And he shows up and he tries to rape her.
Okay.
Of course, that was in the book. Mm-hmm. So and then. Basically, it did follow the book pretty well, mm-hmm. except for the very end. You know, at the very end of the book where it says that, you know, she had died in the boat
mm-hmm.
and he finds her and then he goes through all of her stuff and he's donating this and that or whatever to wherever she wanted it to go. And under the wood by the wood-burning stove, there was a loose tile and that's where he found the necklace.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right? So in the book, he's looking through books and, you know, they're reading this poem and the last line said something about...
sometimes the predator must be killed to
yes.
Keep the prey safe.
Something. Yes. Yeah. So, in the movie, it's showing him going through this book and where it says that line, it shows a picture that she drew of Chase. And so then he goes to the back of the book, and the back of the book is where she had notched out a spot, and that's where that necklace was hidden in that book. So that's how it was different from the movie.
Okay.
Just where it was hidden.
But
for the most part, it went pretty well
okay.
with the book.
I will say throughout the book, all the nature scenes, like being described, I really enjoyed that as well. So I'm glad the movie incorporating a lot of that.
It was really cool. It was really pretty.
Yeah.
I think the author is a
zoologist.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I did go to her website and find like a book club kit for Where the Crawdads Sing. And at the very bottom, and I'll share it in the show notes, but there's actually recipes.
Oh.
Yeah. So awesome. I found that interesting in the book club kit was the recipes at the end. So we'll post those. And if you make them, let us know. But I mean, it was just for like hush puppies, turnips, mussels and grits, breakfast corn fritters and chicken pie. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool that they incorporated recipes into that.
She ate a lot of grits, that girl.
She did.
She was pretty gritty.
Dun, dun, dun. Pun intended. Okay, so I did find some questions. Jumpin' and Mabel are incredibly kind to Kaya. They offer help and support while enabling her to be independent, and they seem to understand what she needs. What did you think about the relationship between Kaya and Jumpin'? What would her life have been like without them?
Oh, she wouldn't have had anything. Mm-mm. I mean, she wouldn't have been able to do it because they were the ones that kept her going. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, you know, it was a sad scene at the, you know, when Jumpin' died and she went. I think that was a little bit different in the book between the movie because she did go to the funeral in the movie. And Mabel said, you know, he thought of you as a daughter. And so, you know, they were really close. And she would never have been able to make it out there on her own without them.
No.
Not at all.
Because that boat was such a lifeline for her to be able to travel and make a living. So in order to have that boat, you need to have money to pay for gas. Mm-hmm. And Jumpin' and Mabel allowed her to basically support herself by bartering with her and trading with her. So in the movie, I really liked how Mabel and Kaya, like the actors, I thought they did a really good job portraying that relationship between the two. I just thought it was like really heartwarming to see how Mabel looked over her. And, you know, Kaya was, you know, she was a shy kid. She didn't really talk a lot. And that mostly had to do with her father. But just to see her warming up to Mabel and Mabel taking her under her wing, I thought that was really cute. Okay, Kaya's family members leave her one by one, starting with her mother.
Mother. Hello, mother. Hello, father.
It's great to see you.
Okay, starting with her mother and then her siblings. There is a period of time in which Kaya and her pa appear to be building a better connection with each other before he, too, leaves her. What do you imagine would have happened if Kaya's father never left? Would Kaya's life have been better or worse without him?
Better without him.
Yes.
Much better.
Yeah, I think if the mom had stayed and the siblings had stayed and the father had left, that would have been, a much better scenario for all of them. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, he was still there. But I'm glad he did leave when she was so young. That way she could learn to support herself and learn what she wanted to do and how she wanted to live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instead of being subjected to that, you know, emotional and physical abuse for many, many more years.
And like she said, while, you know, when he was there, she just did what the others didn't do. She stayed out of his way. So she didn't interact with him unless she had to.
Yeah. Kaya develops an incredible talent for observing and painting wildlife. Her talent had matured, and now she could draw, paint, and sketch anything. That was from page 89. How does the writer show Kaya's creative side throughout the book, and how does Kaya's hobby impact her life?
So, again, she's out there all by herself in her lonesome. That was something for her to do and to live for was, you know, collecting and observing the wildlife. If you take that away, she didn't have anything. She barely had enough to get by, let alone, like, any reason to get by and continue, you know, working so hard. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was because of those hobbies that she kind of kept going and kept pushing for more.
And then that led into her profession. I mean, mm-hmm. that's how she wrote her books. It was everything she learned and taught herself.
Also, without that, she wouldn't have made the connections with the first boy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she wouldn't have met him and seen him out on the water if she wasn't out there. Now, interested in...
And he started leaving her feathers.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Which, that was so cute.
Yeah.
Yes. I was so mad when he didn't come back on the 4th of July and left her on the beach.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was too, but also like anticipated that happening because I was like, well, how does the second boy factor in?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If the first boy is still there. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So another theme throughout this movie is, you know, class divides. So on one hand, you have Chase Andrews and his friends. You know, they have a privileged lifestyle with wealthy parents and access to schooling, opportunities, prospects that Kaya just doesn't have. You know, and Kaya is living in a shack and they're barely getting by. And she gets really excited. There's a scene in the movie where Mabel gives her, I believe it was a piece of candy. So there's just a huge class divide. What role does class and wealth play in this story? And could the locals have done more to help Kaya, or was it somebody else's responsibility?
I was kind of shocked in the story when... they showed up to bring her to school. No, I was not expecting that. I thought she was just going to be left there by herself with her father. But then they showed up and said, no, you have to go to school. But then I was also equally surprised by them not following up on that ever and just letting her not go to school after a day.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of, you know, wild in my eyes.
But then again, she went to school with no shoes,
mm-hmm.
You know, and... And it's funny, pretty ironic at that time that because, you know, back in the 50s, you don't think of people being snooty and
mm-hmm.
But they did. They turned their nose up at them because they weren't privileged. They didn't have money and they did live in a shack with no running water or electricity. And it wasn't until she wrote that first book that she was able to get that stuff put in that place for herself.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the question?
let me find my name. Boop, boop. Could the local another question so yeah, like class played a huge part in this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she grew up in poverty, you know, Chase grew up very wealthy, and just seeing the different lifestyles that they came in and why it attracted them to each other. But another part of that question was, could the locals have done more to help Kaya, or was it somebody else's responsibility?
Well, as far as Chase goes, he was just after one thing, because he would just tell her, oh, yeah, we'll get married, mm-hmm. we'll have a house, mm-hmm. we'll get you this house, and blah, 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 and he was just after the one thing. But could someone have helped them? I don't see, like, if the parents were there, no.
Mm.
With the parents gone, could somebody have stepped in and done something? Probably. Would they? I don't know, because you got, you know,
mm-hmm.
the class thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, with Chase, like, he had this whole other life separate from Kaya. Like, he had his girlfriend and then fiance and then wife that kept Kaya over on the side, just, you know, stringing her along, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So in the movie, Mabel stated that if she went to school, she could get, you know, a hot meal and she would at least need a dress and it was okay to go without shoes. But when she got there, the well-to-doers of kids of town made fun of her for being there, and then she ran away. And it didn't really hit on anybody else coming and trying to get her to go to school. I think there was one scene that maybe did it, but she was already older at that time. Mm-hmm. And I really do think Mabel and Jumpin did the best they could with the situation,
right.
Trying to protect her from, you know, city or DHS coming in and taking her away because they knew what she needed was to live in the marsh and, you know, be one with the marsh. So they tried to provide for her in the best way they could. Was it the correct way? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, for her it was.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the best they could figure out at the time.
And like Leland said, you know, them being African-American and her being white, you know, that could have, you know.
I mean, this was still the South, so back in the 50s, so.
I remember seeing the book where Jumpin' was walking down the street and he quickly got out of the street for some kids to ride by on their bikes as they like jeered at him. And she was like thinking, why doesn't he, you know, like teach them respect and like to, you know, treat them better? Like he shouldn't have to take that.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, you know, really plays in theme with the, that time period and just what the, class system, you know, classes.
Yeah.
This
narrow-mindedness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. How do you feel about the beginning of the book, and did this change over the course of the book? Did you see Kaya as a victim, or did you think of her as a, like, a survivor, the main character? I mean, she kind of was. But, yeah, how did this movie or this book progress for you?
Well, I just kind of seen her getting stronger as time went on. You know, after the mom left, you know, she was waiting for her to come back, and then she never did. And then who was it? Murphy and whoever left. And then was there three of them? Three of them and then
there three was, girls and one boy? No.
Was
four
there,
girls?
There's four kids.
Yeah.
Okay with that.
Without her. I think there's five kids, including her.
Okay. So, like, the three then kids went, and then Jody was the last. He was the boy. He was the last one to go. And he's the one that said in the movie, and in the book it wasn't quite this way, but in the movie he says, if you know, if you hear Dad, you know, going off, he says, just run, as, you know, run to where the crawdads sing, you know. And that's basically what she did. She just stayed out of his way. But I just, as the movie went on, she just got stronger and stronger because she had to do for herself. Nobody else was going to do it for her. Actually, she was doing for her dad, too. So,
And one thing I noticed now that you said that run to where the crawdads sing is that's something she kept doing is like when people would show up at her house, she would just run and hide.
Yes.
So she always had that natural instinct when she knew the situation wasn't safe. Or unfamiliar to her, scary, or however you want to say it, that she would run and hide and then reassess later.
Right.
So she was, even from a young age, you know, just trying to look out for herself and, you know, keep herself safe. And if that's running away, that's running away. Okay. So what did you think of the ending? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, after I went, like I said, I couldn't remember how the stupid movie ended the first time. So when I read the book, I said, she did it. It wasn't until that very, you know, when he found that, I mean, because he's going through all this, and I'm like, are they ever going to say who did it? That's what I'm thinking, you know. And then he finds a necklace, and I did that. I said, she did it.
I remember after I read the ending, I went into Dina's office. I was like, oh, she did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have come in your office and did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full circle moment.
Yeah. Right.
Loving to listen to true crime.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, you know, throughout the whole thing going, oh my gosh, they're going to pin it on her. She's going to get pinned. Mm-hmm. She's going to go down. And I'm like, she did it.
Yeah.
Great. But who did it? Like, then they just kind of dropped it. It's like.
Because wasn't that wasn't her attorney? Wasn't he good?
Yeah,
He's doing it.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, they didn't pin it on her. But who did? Like, I was so confused. But then I've heard all these stories of cases where the initial suspect gets off, and then they don't find any leads. Right. They have no one else, and so it just gets dropped. I'm like,
right, yeah. Because I was gonna be upset if that was the case, because I'm like, well, I went through all this, and we don't know who did it.
Uh-huh.
So I was not expecting it in that way. I was kind of seeing some kind of tragedy where she got, you know, arrested for it and went to prison.
Right.
But no, she got off scot-free.
And she did it.
She did it.
She did it, Josh.
I really like the fact that the book ended with her and Tate actually living out their life, because I thought that was...
Yeah, when he asked her to marry him and she said, well, aren't we married? Kind of like the snow geese. I can live with that.
Yeah, so I just thought their relationship was pretty, you know, just perfect for who they were as people. Like, they both were, you know, good separately but great together. Mm-hmm. So they really brought out the best of each other. So I was glad she ended up with him and not Chase.
Yeah.
Even though he died.
Yeah.
She killed him.
Yeah. Yep, she did.
Sure
did. Did.
Dun, dun, dun.
I really also loved the scene where Tate's father was talking to him in the restaurant about, you know, so girls, you got any girls, like, interest in anyone at school? He's like, nope. No one? And I have rumors about, you know, this other girl. And he's like, you can't believe those rumors, and kind of go on. Dad's giving him like a life advice. And I'm just like, I can get down for this. This is a very like realistic scene. It's like, don't get mad at me because I'm your father. You know, like, I have to bring these, you know, tough situations up and have these hard talks. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like that is like polar opposite from her father, you know, like that is a great dad, you know, and Kaya's father just, the opposite on that spectrum, where he was never there. He never really asked any questions about her life, what she's interested in.
Mm-mm.
None of that.
All he cared about was drinking. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So I just really like that contrast between the fathers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, that's all I had for questions. Do you guys have any that you thought of or wanted to throw out?
In the book at the start, do they say they were collecting DNA evidence when they first initially, like, found Chase?
Ooh, I don't remember that, but I also
I feel like they did. That they're like, oh, well, there's no signs. Best collect, like, DNA. See what we can find. Or am I imagining this?
I don't know.
No?
Now I'm going to have to go watch it again. Okay. Thanks, Leland.
It's behind a paywall now.
Yeah.
Just because... The very first case ever that involved DNA fingerprinting in a case like that was in 1986.
Oh.
So not quite the time period this was set in.
No. But, yeah, I mean, they did say that there were no fingerprints.
Yeah.
There were no footprints. So whoever did it really, because there wasn't any on that, what'd they call that thing?
The scaffolding thing. Tower thing?
Yeah, there was nothing up there. There was no fingerprints, no nothing anywhere other than those few red fibers from that hat on his shirt.
Yeah.
So, but that's where that lawyer was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember.
I just wanted to point that out just from my
and
nerdy
And if that's
side.
The case, yeah, that's a little ahead of the
that's
time.
That's the one part of the book that made me stop and go, wait now, hold on. Is this real? Is this believable?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so I pulled a 5-star review, a 3-star review, and a 1-star review from Goodreads. And I'll just read like a little paragraph. Like, a lot of the reviews would go over like what happened in the book. So I cut that out because we've already discussed that. So one of the 5-star reviews, the very last paragraph said, "This book is beautifully written and contains poetry and vivid descriptions of the marsh. I highly recommend this book. It's thoughtful, evokes emotion, and transports the reader back in time to the marsh. I loved every page." I thought that was a very sweet description of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for one of the 3-star reviews is like, "Phew! I finally made it through this book. My apologies to everyone who loved this, but unfortunately I did not, and no one's sadder than me."
And that was a 3-star?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's like, you all love it, but it wasn't quite there.
I'm afraid to hear the 1-star.
Uh-huh. The 1-star was very nice. It says, "Dear Goodreaders, if you've loved this book, I'm very happy for you. As a reader and also somebody who works in the publishing industry, I want all readers to like or love as many books as possible. If you dislike this book, you may enjoy having some company in your opinion. I finished this book by skimming large sections, starting at page 164 when the entire plot becomes apparent, sans an end of book twist, which was intellectually fun, but just as unbelievable as the manipulations of Kaya's character. So that one I like because she was like, okay, if you do like it, great, good for you. But I did not. So, yeah. So those were just some of the reviews. It was pretty middle of the road on Goodreads. I think it got 2 out of 5 stars. So, like, everybody, this book was talked about for so long and so often.
It was.
But to see the actual reviews come in, it was like, oh, okay, that's different from what, like, we're hearing on the news or, like, just talking word of mouth with people. So, yeah, I found that interesting.
Yeah.
I like to read reviews of books I've read just to see if other people's opinions line up with
Never done that.
Mine, especially this book, because it was so well received. And I was like, I could have just read the last chapter and been okay.
Although,
and then I feel bad because I was like, am I the only one? So then I go on there and
nope, you're not the only one.
Yeah, nope.
I feel like just how it was written, though, is in a style which a lot of people from different interests and backgrounds could enjoy it. So maybe that's why it was so widely popular.
Oh,
just because it's pretty relatable for most people to sit down with this book and be like, okay, I can get into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she did write the marsh scenes beautifully, like with the nature and the, you know, the animals and the plants and just everything that went into it. That was very well written and was very descriptive and could actually transport you to that location. But the whodunit part, I'm like, just let's get to the who killed, what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was getting mad because I'm like, if we don't find out who killed this dude.
I did all this. Yeah.
I did all this work. I'm not going to find out.
But it was like, I'm like, she did it. So I was like, yeah.
Well, that's all I have.
Well.
For my questions, my reviews. Did I sneeze on my computer? So after we get done here, I have to go clean this. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
The lighting in the studio here is just perfectly, the right degree.
Oh, my word.
Shows everything on the screen.
Sure does.
That's hilarious. So, what are we going to do next month?
Ooh, we will read the book Educated by Tara Westover. I know it came out a little bit ago, but it's still a really good book and very insightful. And I really enjoyed it.
It kind of, from what I've read so far, reminds me of Where the Crawdads Sing, kind of, to a degree. But I think I'm to chapter 4.
Okay.
So I'm not very far into it. How about you, Leland? Have you started yet?
Have not started.
No.
I'm going to start directly after this, though.
Okay.
Yeah, and I read it like 3-4 years ago, a while ago, right when it first came out.
Okay.
And I loved it. I thought it was great. The story itself, just FYI, there will be some trigger warnings on it. There is some violence and domestic abuse. So just an FYI, if you don't want to read it or, you know, listen to the podcast, that's totally okay. That's your preference and we respect that. But just thought we would put that out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are some triggering points in that book.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, a true story. And this really did happen, so.
Yeah, it's a memoir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's great to see, and we'll talk about this next month. Yeah. Okay, I'll stop talking about it.
we're going to cut you off there.
Now, did you say there was a movie as well? No.
That one, there's not a movie.
There's not a movie. Okay.
So when we were discussing what we wanted to do for next month, that one didn't have a movie made. I just finished the book. Mm-hmm. And there is a miniseries on Netflix about that. So that one.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. That one I'm working my way through. I'll get it done. I have 4 episodes left. So in about 6 months, I'll get it done. And then what was the other one we were talking about? There was Educated, Made.
What was that other one?
No, I'm blanking on it.
I am too.
But those are the 2 I remember.
There was a third, though.
Mm-hmm. And then we settled on Educated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what we should do is pick one from the NLS TBT list.
Ooh.
Because that would be a newer release one. Oh. We can do that for next year.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's already November.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe?
Where has the time gone? We've almost been doing this for a full year now.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I know. I think this is our 10th?
10th month?
Oh, gosh.
11th month. Next week will be the next week.
Next month.
December will be our
12th. Yeah.
No, we started in February.
Okay.
So, okay, this is our 10th one. 11th. So January. We don't know, people.
We work in a library, not a math lab.
But it's been fun.
Yeah.
It has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
Nope. That's all I have today.
Leland?
Nope.
Any parting words?
Am I supposed to drop wise knowledge at the end?
Or I wasn't parting. Ready.
Make sure you drink plenty of coffee and water.
And eat pie.
And eat pie.
And eat pie at least once a month.
Yes. Well, I guess that wraps it up for November, and we'll see you next month.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.